Well, it's always good to be back, Puyallup. As you know, I spent a lot of great years here. Many years ago, all my old places are, some of them are still standing. But the church is the deal, right? Isn't it great to know Jesus? Think so? Thanks for that rousing response. Yeah. It's always good to be with the Schoonovers and their vision, their spirit. Brother Joel, it's nice to see you. And that's about as far as my memory goes right now. But Brother Nick, guys, he's an old timer. So here we are. Anybody happy you are married? Yeah, that's kind of weak too. I was doing a little research not long ago, getting ready to try to help some people with some marriage things and thoughts, and found that according to some of the leading psychologists of today, people that have counseled thousands of couples, find out that 69% of all issues in marriage go unresolved. Isn't that comforting? That means that you can have a successful marriage with 31% activity. And you're wise not to dig around in the 69. Some things you just need to leave alone. And I got to thinking that that's messed with my mind just a little bit. But, you know, the Lord is a complete healer. And he doesn't leave you 69% hung out in the world. He brings you to full resolution. And when we begin to think about, just share one little thought with you about out of Philippians 2 and 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I really thought that was just a dynamite scripture until I looked at it. And found out that the mind of Christ is the abilities to not to get your way all the time. He can feed the 5,000, weep over the Lazarus situation, and he can be rejected, mocked, falsely accused. He can hear them yell, Hosanna, and he can hear them yell, give us Barabbas, and he can say, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the mind of Christ. It's to be able to take whatever's coming our way. I don't have to be swayed by anything. How many believe there's a little spirit of deception in our world that would love to champion us and take us down? And the mind of Christ says you can hear what you got to hear, but the mind of Christ keeps us centered right. We're not swayed easily. And I want that mind to be in me. I've watched people that I was involved in an issue not long ago that a man just, he championed forgiveness and sought forgiveness and covered his sin. And you know, when somebody is covering their sin by constantly asking forgiveness, 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 you know, it's hard for the Lord to let you see that. But here's what's going to happen. When he pulls the cover off, he gets tired of it. I believe people get tired of having to forgive, ask forgiveness, seek acceptance over the same stuff. They don't get the judgment of God. Nobody comes up and puts their finger in their face and says, look, this is what the Lord revealed to me. It's pretty hard for God to reveal things through His blood, and His covering is awesome. But I want you to know it gets wearisome, not resting at night, wondering what's going on, just dealing with several things. And suddenly when God pulls the cover off, then His judgment comes into place. I want the mind of Christ to be in me, that I can just receive what I need to receive, roll with the punches that life brings me, and stay right before God, centered on Him, the peace of God, the flow of the Holy Ghost, not have to go home hoping that I can get by another day. That's not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is pure. It can put up with a lot of junk. He did it. I am challenged today that we don't get caught up in the spirit that's in this world right now. I can't imagine living in deception, acting like I've got it, and I don't. Sometimes it's okay to say, look, I'm just out of gas, God. I need a refilling. Yeah, that's a good thing to do from time to time. Amen. It's good to be here. That's about as much time as I get to stand right now.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It is good to see you. Kind of a home away from home. And thank God for the opportunity to spend time with Bishop Schoonover, of course, Bishop Wright, and Bishop Dillon. We were having breakfast this morning at what we call the Greasy Spoon back home. It just, you know, pancakes, eggs, and sausage. There's nothing fancy about it. But as I was listening to Bishop Schoonover kind of talk about some of the things that was going on a few moments ago, thinking about all that, the Lord brought me to a scripture in a setting in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. And it's where Jesus calls Peter to follow Him. And He makes an interesting statement to Peter. He says in Luke 5, 4, He tells Peter, launch out into the deep. And if you know anything about fishing, I don't know too much about it other than what I've studied and I've fished a few times. Peter was in the right spot doing what he should have been doing. The type of fishing that Peter was doing was common, just to throw the net out and kind of wade along the shore and pull up what was there, shallow fishing. But Jesus tells him, launch out into the deep. It's the call of every disciple. It's the call that Jesus places on every single one of us every day. I'm convinced it happens every day. If you break down that word launch, it literally means to move past what you know. He was asking Peter, move past what you know. I know you know how to fish. I know you're in the right spot and you have done this over and over. But I began to think about Peter. You know, there are times, and I didn't know that Bishop Dillon was going to say what he said. There are times where Jesus will bring us to points where we could be obedient, or we could become bitter. There are moments where Jesus will ask us to go a little bit further than what we know, to move past our intellect, and lead us to either we're going to be obedient, or either we're going to become bitter at what Jesus has asked us to do. Here's a point for you. John the Baptist is taken to prison, and Jesus heads in the opposite direction. I'm a map guy. I like to look at maps. When I go somewhere, I'll look at where I'm at on the map. And if you look at where John the Baptist was, he was in the desert. He was in a jail cell. And if you look at where Jesus went to, he went to a seaside resort. And John the Baptist sends his disciples, and you know the story, are you the one we're looking for? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus says some things, but he makes a statement. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. The call of the disciple is to either have the mind of Christ or to be tempted to do this our own way. And as I was listening to Bishop Schoonover share his vision and some of the things that God has put on his heart, just what's happening around here, it is so unique. And the temptation is to bottle that up, fabricate it, and of course try to take that to San Diego or try to take that to Southern California. But the call of the disciple is either we're going to move past what we know. Timing and positioning the kingdom of God are key. And I believe what God is doing is he has positioned us. The hardest part is not being in position. The hardest part is waiting on the timing of God. When Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4, I believe he wrote 4:14, let me see, I can pull it up. He said, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. And he makes this statement, for the spirit of glory. There's a spirit of glory, he says, that will rest on you. And one day you will come into full understanding. Jesus asks us, either you're going to be offended or obedient. Either we are going to move past what we know at the risk of being offended or at the risk of forsaking that spirit of glory. When you look at what glory is, what the scripture teaches, what glory is, it is, there's a Latin word for it, means gravitas, gravity, the weight of things being pulled together. We don't have the capacity to understand everything that God is doing. We barely have the capacity sometimes to understand for our own self. But Peter says, if you continue to be obedient, if you continue to live by faith, then that spirit of glory, Jesus talks about that spirit of glory when he says, the man Christ Jesus, glorify me now, Father, with the glory I had with you that was at the beginning. Meaning God is pulling everything together. It is the gravity, it's the call, the tug of the end time apostolic church. Either we're going to fish our way, harvest our way, or we're going to let God take the reins of this. All right, God, I'm going to launch out into the deep. We were in the Philippines. And you may have heard a little bit of the story, but I was reminded again of how the timing of God and the position of God is perfect. We were sitting down at dinner. This hotel, we were probably about 2 hours, three, 4 hours. Well, the drive was about 10 hours outside of Manila. And I was talking to Brother Hart. And I look and I said, oh my Lord, that is Will Satterfield. A man that my wife and I used to disciple in the middle of nowhere in the Philippines. I just see him. And of course, I was thinking, there's no way. There's no way that's him. And so I got up and I said, Will. And he kind of looked and his face just dropped. He said, oh my goodness, what in the world are you doing here? I said, well, I'm preaching. I'm out ministering. And I said, what are you doing here? You still in the service? He's a Marine. He said, yeah, we're doing some reconnaissance out here. And he looked at me and he said, I need to talk to you. Can I go up to your room? I need to pray. I said, well, come on up. I'm talking about the positioning and the timing of God. God bringing things together. I almost didn't even make it. That's a whole nother story. I almost got left in Seattle. I thought we were flying out at 2:10 p.m., not a.m. And so I made it to the airport in about 20 minutes. But Will got up and he began to cry. He sat down in the hotel. He began to cry. He says, I've been away from God for about 10 years now. He says, I haven't spoken in tongues. I haven't felt God. He said, we took off from Okinawa. He said, I went to sleep. And when I woke up, I looked and everything seemed familiar. He said, the plane was having complications, so we turned back around. Mind you, I would have missed him if he would have got there. when he thought he was going to get there. He said, so we tried it again the next day, what was the day I saw Will. And he said, all of a sudden, that emergency light began to flash. He's in one of those big old transport planes. He said, and we were doing 180 degrees. And these gentlemen heard him say this story. He said, that pilot was tipping that wing at 90 degrees, trying to get the fuel back in the fuel line. He said, I'm watching, and that engine is dead. He said, they began to say, brace for impact. He said, Will told me, he said, there's this procedure that they go through. They're supposed to grab their scuba gear, and after that plane maybe will glide about 10 miles because of its wingspan, but it's going to hit the ocean pretty hard. It's kind of like, you know, the demonstration that they give you in case of an emergency. You know, this mass is somehow going to help you. Well, he said, hopefully nobody's flying tomorrow. It's got you scared. It don't help me. No, I don't know. Never used it. He said, the only thing I could think of was putting my mind right. He said, so I put my headphones on. He said, we were gliding down. He said, I put a song on. He said, I began to pray. And I said, God, it cannot end this way. If somehow you can lead somebody to me, I'm talking about the pulling of the Spirit of God. For one man, God reaching for one, the love of God is so amazing when we do it His way and launch out and move past our own methods and harvesting methods and evangelism methods. He said, we were going down. He said, I began to cry, and I said, God, I need your help. It was a miracle. He said, that plane sputtered all the way. We landed pretty hard on the airfield. He said, we got there, and I didn't tell anybody about it. Nobody would understand. He said, and I was standing in this buffet line. We were eating. He said, I was standing in this buffet line, and God reminded me. He said, Will, you made me some promises. And he said, I was praying in this buffet line. He said, I did, God, but I need help. Would you please send me a man? And he heard his name being called. At that same moment, God was moving me towards Will. Will was crying out to God in his heart, I did make a promise to you. When we do things God's way, God will surprise us. God will amaze us. I said, Will, you haven't spoken in tongues for 10 years. Tonight's your night. He spoke in tongues for about 45 minutes. He was so loud. He was all over that place, crying, twirling around. After we finished, we got a call, and they said, is everything okay up there? I said, yeah, who called? Because my two neighbors are both apostolic. What? They're calling on, we're having revival up here. When we do things God's way, when we step out and say, okay, God, I can be offended. I can be upset. I may not like this. I may not like the pain and the struggle and the suffering, but there's a spirit of glory. You know, the spirit of glory rests on a person when they step out and they do the will of God. When they do the will of God without question, without compromise, with conviction, with a backbone, with a will, amen, that we're victorious. We are victorious. I hope it wasn't a drudgery to be here tonight. There's no better place than to be with the people of God, to get excited, not a shallow excitement, but God is going to win. As much as this world is getting darker and viler, and there's stuff going on in San Diego right now that would blow your mind, and God has put us in the heart of darkness. But in the heart of darkness, people are coming in, being delivered from alcohol, homosexuality. People are being delivered from all sorts of vices. Why? Because where sin doth abound, grace, the supernatural empowering of God, not my will, God, not my way, God, whatever you have to do to me, God, I want to launch out into the deep. And you know what happened? Peter caught something. And so when he looked at the first century church, he said, I know you're enduring. I know you're struggling. I know there's situation and circumstances, but there's a spirit of glory that is trying to rest on this church, that God understands everything. He's never surprised. He's never amazed. He's never caught off guard. Amen. I want to do things God's way. Amen. Amen. It's great to be here. God bless you.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Gonzalez. Brother Dylan. Bishop, please come and take your liberty.